Good morning. It's good to see all of you. Keeping a safe distance this morning, I see. Is that what you want to be close, but not that close? This series has been that uncomfortable so far that you're like slowly just inching back. We want to be here. We just don't want to be in the dangerous zone up front. Except for these guys. Thank you. It's good. I don't feel so lonely. Welcome to another message, another sermon in our series called How Not to Ruin Everything. It's all about relationships. Before we get started, I need to pray just that God would bless us. And then we're going to, I'll awkwardly welcome you again because I already welcomed you. And I'll welcome our Tremont location. So just join me in prayer. God, we thank you so much for your love for us and never ceases. It's always there. It's perfect. And we need that. Maybe somebody here just needs that to be reminded of how much we mean to you and how you are constantly in pursuit of us. As we jump into another message on relationships, which can be messy and hard, we just pray that we would hear your voice, that you would encourage those who need encouragement, that you'd strengthen those who need strength, and even so that you would challenge those who need to be challenged. I know that's been me a whole lot of days. We just thank you for your word and for this opportunity to be together. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome 9 o'clock, Grace Orgsburg, and welcome Tremont fam. We are so glad that you guys are on here. We're in another week of our messages in How Not to Ruin Anything. These are all about relationships. And we're kind of taking a little bit of a turn now. This should get practical, I think, hopefully, really kind of into the nitty-gritty where maybe we came out starting this series with some messages that maybe got a little uncomfortable. Maybe they were a little bit too much about me and not too much about those other people that are super difficult that I was hoping this series would be about. So this hasn't been about taking notes for the person you left at home. This hasn't been about, this has been about taking a deep look inside ourselves and seeing what God has to say about us and how we live in relationships, because you can't change them. Are you still trying? Like, you can't change them, but you can change you, and if God, you let God change you, that changes everything. Have you ever said yes to something and, like, immediately regretted it? Immediately? Like, maybe some of you are here today because you said yes, and now you're like, should I have... I've done this a lot in life. The worst one was I said yes to some hitchhikers coming down 61. And why are you groaning already? I didn't get murdered or kidnapped. I'm here in one piece, a little emotionally scarred because these guys were backpackers. I forget their trail names. Something like Fairy Dust was her name. And his name was like Trekmaster. You know, all the backpackers that are through hiking have their trail names. I didn't get, so when I introduced myself, it started off awkward, but as soon as they shut the door to get in the car, I couldn't breathe because they smelled so bad. Like, it was horrific. I turned the air conditioner on, even though it was cold out, had the windows down too, leaned over as I'm trying to make conversation with them and not breathe through my nose. They asked me to take them to Walmart. I took them to Walmart. I dropped them off. They could not get out fast enough. There was no, hey, have you ever heard of Jesus talk? It was more like, have you ever heard of a bar of deodorant or a shower? I didn't even make it out of the parking lot without throwing up. It was an awkward scene. And I bought a whole lot of car fresheners after that. You ever say yes to somebody and like immediately regret it? Sometimes you have said yes to people and you haven't even made it through the conversation that you just said yes, and you already regret it. Or somebody says, hey, do you have a minute? And you think, I have a minute. Yeah, sure. Out of the generousness of your heart, you give them a minute, but they take like an hour. You're like awkwardly looking at your clock and trying to make excuses, but you can't get a word in edgewise. Have you ever said yes to somebody and end up signing up for some sort of commitment that went far beyond their initial explanation of that commitment? The reality of why so many of you are nodding or agreeing with that is because we all do it. We all say yes. And what we're talking about today are boundaries. But before we even get to boundaries in relationships, what you have to know is that you have been taught since you were a child, without your parents or guardians or caretakers even trying to teach you this, you have been taught that yes is good and no is bad. No, don't touch that. No, don't eat that. No, don't you put your hands on your brother. Like, no, don't say that. Right? We get this message over and over and over again since a very young age that no is bad. And then throw on that, like, don't be selfish. Yes, you should share. Yes, you should do what mom says and dad says. Yes, you should listen to your teachers. Yes, 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 yes. And we have been bombarded with this messaging. And I guess I'm saying this as a little like bit of a breather for me and for you to say, maybe it's not completely our fault that you say yes when you shouldn't say yes, that you have ended up in situations because you have said yes that are less than good and have been uncomfortable and awkward and draining. And that's just the lighter side of it. Because saying yes to everything costs something. And there are a whole lot of you that are nervous about this message because you don't know if you want to say no, even though you feel like you should say no to your mother-in-law because of the pain that it's going to cause. Or you're carrying around this guilt that you're going to be a disappointment to somebody because you're not going to be there for them. You're not going to say yes. And after all, what happens if you say no to that person? Who's going to do it? What if they're stuck and they have nobody else to ask? And so we constantly are saying yes over and over and over again, even though many of you are burned out, tired, exhausted, worn. You feel real pressure from real people in your everyday life who have expectations of you that you have to, in your mind, live up to so that you are not a disappointment or a disappointment again. Everybody here probably has somebody in their life who has manipulated you into a yes, pulled on your heartstrings, pushed those little pressure buttons in your life, brought up stuff from your past to get from you a commitment that you're not ready to give. And though you kind of are like tired and worn out and you don't have time and your calendar is full and you are tired of being taken advantage of and you got all kinds of people asking you all kinds of things, the temptation for you when somebody in a relationship asks something or anything of you, no matter how small or big or ridiculous or reasonable, your temptation is to always say yes, no matter what is going on in your life. And that is why we need boundaries. And it is good that Jesus shows us another way. We're doing something different here this morning. I'm going to read three passages to you because I feel like I have had to try to get this past my thick skull. And if you're anything like me, and hopefully you're not, like maybe like just hearing this over and over and over again is what you need more than me pontificating on it. So I want to just kind of like show you from Scripture, we're supposed to be like Jesus. That's what following Jesus is about. That's what being a disciple means. It means to be a follower of Him. And being a follower of Jesus means that if you are for real, you are trying to be more like Him. You are trying to listen to His direction. You're trying to love people the way He loved people. you're trying to communicate the way he communicated, to be giving the way he was giving, to be like Jesus. And so this is really encouraging for us this morning. If you're tired, burned out, exhausted from saying yes over and over and over again, from not having proper and important boundaries in your life, this is good news. The first passage I want to read to you is found in Mark chapter 1, and it's verse 35. And if you're following along, or listen, some of you need to, if you're a yes person and you're exhausted and you have extreme guilt anytime you say no to your parents or to a sister or a cousin or your boss or whatever, like, write these down, please. Just write the references down. Mark chapter 1, 35. Jesus had just been doing all kinds of ministry, and it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, when we read these passages, that's where most of our attention goes. And we use this passage in this Bible to learn about the importance of spending time without distraction in our relationship with God. But when we put all the emphasis just on the first part of that verse, I think we miss something key in the rest of it. It goes on to say, Simon and his companions went to look for him. You got people like that. You're like having your nice coffee. You made it special. Like, you got that good creamer from the grocery store, even though it cost you $7.99. Like, the kids are all supposed to be doing something, and here he comes. Your other kid, the older one, you know, the one you married. And he wants to know something ridiculous, like, where's the vacuum cleaner? And you're like, how do you not know that? And get out of my face right now, or I'm going to throw this coffee and this $7.99 creamer all over you. Like, you have people like this, Simon and Peter. Like, Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Really? Everyone? The whole planet? Like, every person? You really mean every? I'm thinking it's not everybody. I'm thinking it's probably not even everybody in their circle. I'm thinking it's probably these guys and maybe one other person. Maybe somebody from the community who thought they'd beat the mad rush and try to sneak in an early morning miracle. Like, that's who I'm thinking. That's who I'm not. I'm thinking it's not everyone. Everyone is looking for you. You feel that. You have that quiet space. You finally cut that time out, and it is interrupted by somebody with no concern for you or what you need or that moment you were having with God or with your journal or whatever, drinking your coffee, that little bit of peace that you needed to get through the day, interrupted by somebody who's not paying attention to what you need or what you're going through, somebody who is thinking about them or a few other people. You probably have people that put that kind of pressure on you. It's one person, but no, it's everybody. When people come into my office, this is a warning, I guess. I don't know. When I meet with people, a lot of times it starts with everyone. Everyone is mad about the lighting in church. Everyone doesn't like the volume or whatever. Everyone hates that song. Everyone thinks that sermon stunk. And I go, okay, great. Like, let me get a pen. I really want to talk to these people and, like, make sure they're okay. Who is everyone? And it's like, it's a few people. Okay, great. That'll make it easier because I don't have a lot of time to have these conversations. Who are the few people? And it's like, oh, it's me and one person. Which is okay. I still want to have that conversation with you. But just don't start with everyone. Start with, hey, I have a question. That's a good way to start. You have people in your life that amplify the need, increase the pressure to get you to do what they want you to do. Oh, if you don't do this, if you can't help, I got... And you feel that pressure building. But watch Jesus' response. He said, let us go somewhere else. To the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I have come. Jesus had his priorities in order, knew his purpose, knew what he needed for his relationship with his Father. God in the flesh, cut time out, knew what was most important, and because he knew what was most important, and he knew that his soul needed to be connected with his Father first before he healed anybody and did anything else, he set clear boundaries in the face of pressure and expectations. And in this case, he skedaddled. Okay, that's once, right? Like anybody, one time, okay. No, this was a pattern. Another reference to write down is in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22 through 23. Just two verses in here. Jesus had just finished with the disciples feeding the 5,000. Do you know the story? If not, you got to go hit up a Sunday school class somewhere. Like it's a great read. Read it. Chapter 14. Jesus feeds thousands of people, multiplying some fish and some loaves of bread to do it. It was an epic, crazy miracle, way more than 5,000 people because they only counted the guys there, which is a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time. But right after that, in verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them. These are verses we skip because Jesus is about to like meet them in their desperation in the storm on the sea and walk on water, and it's this really cool, amazing miracle story, and we just came from a miracle story, and we kind of like skip the filler in the middle, or that's how we treat it, like it's filler, but it's not. Every word of this is meant for us and is useful for us. Immediately Jesus made the disciples. You want to make somebody like leave you alone right now? Like this is the verse for you. He made them get into a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was also a considerable distance from land, running into all kinds of trouble. Jesus made them go away, and he took the crowd, thousands of people, and said, "We're done. See ya. Get out. Don't hang around the sanctuary. I got things to do." Like, could you imagine if I like said, "You know what, guys? Right now, like, I've been tired. I'm not. I don't know. Everybody keeps telling me that I look tired. So I need to invest in some of those little sticky things that you put on. I think they're gold and you keep them in the fridge. I don't know. Like, clearly I need some help in the eye area." What if I like just stopped and I said, "Get out. Hey, leaders, go over to Tremont. Tremont, come over to Orangeburg. And if you're not a leader, go home." And then I did this crazy thing and just disappeared to the mountains. You'd be like, "He's fired. What are we listening to this guy for?" Jesus, though, knew what he needed, knew his priorities, knew he needed rest and to connect with his Father. He was taking care of him and his flesh. And so he said, "Go, leave me alone." How about Luke 5:16? One verse. This is my favorite. It says that, but Jesus often, you could circle that word. How often do you have time for you? How often do you have space for your soul to breathe without distraction? How often do you get away to clear your head and talk to your Father in heaven? Jesus often withdrew. "I don't have time. Everybody needs something from me. I got to be all these places. People have all these expectations. If I don't keep the calendar, nobody will. Dude doesn't even know where the vacuum cleaner is. How are we going to survive? Like, somebody has to go to the grocery store. Somebody has to get the kids to practice. Somebody has to coach the team. Somebody. Except you're not saying somebody. You're saying I have to. Often, We carve out seldom at, is it fair to say seldom at best? Rare time for our care? I don't know. You tell me what is it for you? Is it often? Great, then you don't need the rest of the sermon. Often he withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, what you don't see here in these three passages, what we don't have a picture of, but we understand from human behavior, what you don't see are the disappointed faces that Jesus left when he left the crowds and retreated to take care of his relationship with God, to rest his flesh. You don't see in these verses here the needs that were left on the table. People coming to him from all over, crowds of people coming to him to be healed, desperate for their kids who were suffering, desperate for somebody they loved who needed healing, desperate themselves because they had tried it all and came up empty. You don't see that, but it's there. It's there. You don't see the mutterings or hear the mutterings or complaints. Where did he go? What about me? Jesus just left. I was next in line. I'm not going to be able to get this close again. I'm running out of time. What's he doing? If he was the Messiah, wouldn't he be taking care of all of us? Like, we don't see that. We don't see that part of these passages. But it's there. And if Jesus can leave a need on the table, a very real need to the person who had it, if Jesus can leave disappointed faces behind, if Jesus can walk away knowing that they're going to mutter and complain about him not being there for them, then why can't you? Here's what we do see. We see Jesus who loved people deeply and perfectly. 1 John 4:8, God is love, and Jesus is the perfect representation of God. He is God in the flesh. He said it over and over again. I am that I am. God is loving. Jesus is love, perfect love, deep love for people. And he had boundaries. Kind of takes my excuses away. Boundaries protect. Most importantly, they protect you. Your soul matters. Who you are matters. God cares deeply about you, which is why Jesus models this behavior for us. If you're not taking care of your soul, how could you even take care of anything else or anybody else? This is a big deal to God because you are a big deal to God. Not the stuff on your list. Not the expectations people have for you. Not the things that pressure you or are ruining your life through your calendar. You are important to God. No matter who you are, no matter what life looks like, no matter what labels you wear, no matter how ragged you have been, no matter what mistakes you have made in your past, no matter what people say about you, you matter. Your soul is important. If you don't prioritize taking care of it, no one else will. If you don't create boundaries to protect it, no one else will. You'll just continue to run ragged and empty and worn out and burn out. And how's that working for you? My guess is it's not helping any of the people around you, even though you're burnt out from trying to help the people around you. Boundaries protect. Most importantly, they protect you and they protect your relationship with God. Jesus didn't just go away. He go away to spend time with his Father, to deepen his reserve. The flesh was weak, but Jesus went to his Father to be replenished. It protects you, it protects your relationship with God, and it protects your relationships with others. That sounds like a contradiction, but it is true. Sometimes the best thing you can do for a relationship with somebody is to say no. Sometimes the best thing you can do for that person is to stop saying yes. Boundaries, we learn from these passages, they're clear and intentional. Jesus was intentional about going away. He was clear. They're communicated and they're actionable. He like did something. He communicated clearly to the disciples, this is what we're doing. We're going to another town. This is why we're doing it. My purpose is bigger than just staying here and meeting every need here. And sometimes they're scheduled and they always have to be protected. Do you have any boundaries in your relationships? If not, you will suffer and so will your relationships. Here's how to do it real quick. Like, here's how to do boundaries, just a crash course. I've had to talk about this a lot. I knew I was going to run out of time because I've had to learn this the hard way over and over and over again. So there's a lot up here and in here about boundaries, but I just wanted to give you like my quick guidelines for how to establish some boundaries. But first, you got to know where you need them, and that's step one. Get clear about where you need boundaries. You don't know? Where are you exhausted? Where are you starting to feel resentment in a relationship or in a part of your life? Where do you feel like you can't constantly keep up? Where do you feel like all the pressure is on you and if you don't do it, nobody will? That is the place you need to set a boundary. Step one, get clear on your boundaries. Step two, set them early. Don't wait until Aunt Jean. Are there any Aunt Jeans in the house? Hope not. It's totally coincidental if there are. Don't wait until Aunt Jean lays the pressure and the guilt trip on. Have boundaries set before she asks. Get clear on what your needs are, be early, and communicate your boundaries clearly. Communicate them clearly. A boundary in your head does you no good. A boundary that says, this coffee time is my space, I need it, don't interrupt me, is a clearly communicated boundary. And then once you clearly communicate it, hold the line. Not right now. I'm not going to take your call right now. I'm going to put my phone on do not disturb. This is a boundary. I'm not saying yes to anything over at the Little League field this year. It's like a clear boundary, right? Like, hold the line and protect it. Doesn't matter if they need help in the concession stand. You decided it's a boundary. Hold the line. Even though all the moms will be mad. And then let it be awkward. The worship team's going to come out. And some of us have to be okay with letting it be awkward in our relationships to protect the most important stuff. Every time you say no to something, it makes your yes stronger. It's all the time. And some of us, we're killing ourselves trying to live up to the expectations and the pressure of others, and it is trickling into all of our relationships, and it is fraying them. And you feel strain in your relationship with your kids, not because you're strained in your relationship with your kids, but because you keep saying yes to these other people. And it's wearing you out, and you come home, and you're burnt, and you're tired, and you're taking it out on the people you care most about. Saying no is one of the most loving things you can do. It's the most loving thing you can do for you. It's the most loving thing you can do for the people you care most about, and it's the most loving thing you can do to the person who has trying to suck the life out of you by just asking more and more and more and never thinking about you and only thinking about them. Saying no is loving. Setting boundaries is a good way to love. And it's time some of you started taking care of you and your relationship with God first. You need to stop. And so here's the thing, right? Some of you are nervous. Some of you feel like you can't do it. Some of you feel the guilt already just thinking about saying no to your parents or changing where you're having Thanksgiving this year, even though it's 6 minutes or 6 months away or whatever, like 6 minutes, like maybe, I don't know, interstellar, you know, like, Jesus gives you permission to say no and to set some healthy boundaries. He cares deeply about you no matter who you are. And he gives you permission and invites you to be like him. So this week, say no and say, Jesus told me. Don't say Josh told me, say Jesus told me. Just in case you're saying no to somebody that comes here. Actually, I'm good with it. Say no. Say no. Set some boundaries. Give yourself some time. Take care of your soul. This matters to us, and it matters to our relationships. God, we thank you so much for your love for us, for modeling this for us. It's so hard. And I pray for my friends who have been run ragged this week, this month, this year, who have been carrying guilt and shame and the fear, living in the fear of disappointing their family and disappointing their parents and disappointing somebody, their kids, somebody in their life. So they keep saying yes, and they keep saying yes, and they keep saying yes, and you're calling them right now to say no, like it's time for you to stop and take care of you and remember me and set some good boundaries. Pray that you'd give us courage to live this way. Give us comfort and peace when they lay on the guilt and shame, and help us to place our confidence in who you say we are. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.